Let's open our Bibles to Job chapter 42, the book of Job. It's right before the book of Psalms. And a couple weeks ago, we began a series on intimacy with God. And we defined intimacy into me see. That's what true intimacy is. It's not settling for a surface glance or a superficial understanding of a person, but truly making the time, taking the time, making the effort to look into them. Their likes, their dislikes, what they desire out of life, what is important to them, their interests, and so on and so forth. And that's what intimacy is. It is not physical intimacy. Animals do that, and there's no intimacy there. So we're talking about spiritual intimacy and emotional intimacy. And yet the interesting part of that is God shares that same desire with His creation. He says to us, human beings, into me see. That is God's longing. That is why He created us as people. He wants us to look into Him. He has a desire to be known, and from what He reveals, the limited parts that He's revealed, because how many of y'all know there is more to God than what He has chosen to reveal? Amen? There's far more to God, and we'll have all of eternity to keep understanding Him and knowing Him. Wow, because He truly is an infinite God, and with Him there is no end of understanding and there is no end of wisdom or revelation. Amen. He is endless. He is an endless mystery, but from what He has chosen to reveal, we can understand that aspect of the Lord, and that is His heart cry. So if you're in Job chapter 42, isn't that nice of me? I gave you a little bit of time to get there. Thank you, Job. Okay. Job chapter 42. He has this long experience with suffering. Job has had. And in verse 5, notice very, very insightful truth. He says, I have, talking to the Lord, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. I have heard of you, but now I know you because I have seen you. Isn't there a difference, church family, if you hear somebody talk about somebody else? Well, they're this kind of person, they're that kind of person. They like this, they don't like that. It's one thing to know about somebody through the hearing of the ear, what you have heard through hearsay. But it's a different story when you look into them and seek to know them and understand them. Am I right? Notice what Job said. He's telling the Lord, Lord, before my limited knowledge of you came strictly by what, church family? By the hearing, what I had heard about you. But now, Job says, I know you because my eyes have seen you. What's Job saying? Into you, Lord, I have seen. Isn't there a difference? How many of y'all want to know the Lord? By the seeing of the eye rather than by the hearing of the ear. That's my heart cry. I want to know the Lord. I love that heart cry of Paul the Apostle, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I long to know Him, Jesus Christ, in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His sufferings. That should be all of our heart cry, church family, that I want to know Jesus. I want to be all about Jesus. I want Jesus' character to be replicated in me. I want to be more and act more and talk more like Jesus. Amen? Because that's the zenith of our existence, church family. That is life at its highest, is reflecting, knowing God so well and knowing Jesus Christ personally so well that you begin to act like Him and Him rubbing off on you, and you begin to reflect His character, qualities of compassion and kindness and love and patience. Come on, somebody. Right, Craig? Patience. Well, you need a lot of that, brother. I think we all do. Shouldn't have gone down that road. But that is what he says. So, church family, in the balance of the message, I want to look at a couple of things. If, in fact, we're going to look into him, if, in fact, we're going to look into God's heart, I believe that we're going to find three preliminary things about God. We must have a heart once we begin to see God with the seeing of the eye rather than just the hearing of the ear. I believe that we will have a heart for three things in life right off the bat. Number one, in Matthew chapter 22, a teacher of the law approached Jesus and he said, "Master, what is the greatest commandment?" What did Jesus say? "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength," right? Amen. So if we're going to look into God, church family, it is God's longing that we have a heart for God. Love the Lord with all your heart, right? Amen. So we're going to have a heart for God. That's number one. That's, brother, that's first base. That's our starting point, is having a heart for God and seeking to obey him in all aspects of life. Can I get a witness on that, church family? You know, I fear that Cynthia and I had a buffet, very good tasting buffet over at Yoder's Kitchen yesterday in Arthur. And man, that chicken was to die for, wasn't it, babe? Yeah, mercy. We were trying to figure out ways to sneak some out, even though we just had buffet. I know that's kind of yours truly at work. Mama Jansen, look at me like that, please. but anyway, but I fear that we have the same approach with God about what Cynthia and I had about that buffet. I'll take some chicken, but I don't want the ham. I'll take some mashed taters, but I don't want the dressing. Now, that's okay with food, church family, but is that okay with God? No. Is that truly having a heart for God? Oh, Pastor Joe, I want to hear about his love, 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 but I don't want to hear about his severity. You know, one time I was talking with a Baptist preacher's daughter, and she was telling me about how her dad was a Baptist preacher. That's great. Praise the Lord. You know, I have a heart for preachers. I think they're awesome. Some are awkward socially, but we'll leave that alone. Some wear polyester, but okay, I'm getting myself in trouble. Right, Miss Sheila? And she was telling me that, oh, the whole Bible's all about God's love and nothing negative. And I said, okay, so I took her to Romans chapter 11, verse 22, that says, consider the goodness and the severity of God. Oh, no, no, no. And she denied what that verse said. Well, no, I'm going to focus on love because that's what I need. Okay, cool. And she said she talked to me after that point. She said she had a conversation with her dad. Her dad said, "You're right, honey. Just stick to the love. There's nothing else about God you need to know." And I'm thinking, you buffet Christian.
Pick out what you want.
That's right. But he's not a pick and choose kind of God, right? We just, either you take him all or you don't. It's getting really quiet here in the congregation. Can I get a hearty amen from you dedicated believers? Thank you so much. God is not buffet. We can't make, listen, this is the sin of the ages. God made us in his image, and not long after that, we returned the favor. We tried to make God in our image. And that's the problem, church family. We cannot mold this God into what we want him to be or what we need him to be. We must bow down at the feet of Jesus and accept him all as he is. Amen. I get tired of this Americanized pick and choose version of worship of God. Now, maybe if you think this is hard, you know, you better put on your spiritual steel toe boots, because it's going to get better in a little bit. We're going to go deeper. If we're going to look into God's heart, he's going to call for us to have a heart for him. Right? Okay, number two. First one, we have a heart for God. If we're to look into Him, see into Him, see, we're going to see that He wants us to have a heart for Him. Number two, we're going to have a heart for the house of God. All right? Second Chronicles, we won't turn there if you want to write it down. You're taking Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 16. We normally quote verse 17 that says that if my people, or verse 14 rather, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, I will heal their land. That's the one we quote. But two verses after this, and I'm going to quote it out of the NIV. Listen, God says, my heart, build me a house because my heart is... and my heart and my eyes are in that house. Listen to the Message Bible. I like this one better. Believe me, I've chosen and sanctified this temple that you have built. My name is stamped on the temple forever. For how long, church family? My eyes are on it. And my heart is in it for how long?
Always.
Does God have a heart for His church? And because He has a heart for the church, should we as God's people have a heart for the church?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Since when did church become optional? How many of y'all give me permission just to preach to church family?
Yes.
Thank you. You know, Jesus said that where two or three are gathered together in His name, there He is in our midst. I don't like, if I can be honest with you, you know, I get to talk a lot with my kids, and they love the Lord, and they're committed to their church bodies, but they also tell me that there's a brand new movement of home churches, and they create their own church thing, and why does a younger generation seek to reinvent what God said worked for millennia? The church has been around for 2,000 years, baby. Why are we trying to reinvent it? It's worked well. Can I get a witness, please? Now, I understand this whole COVID thing. Trust me, church family. I came here with my mask on to show by example that I'm trying to follow some rules, you know. But... And if people don't feel comfortable coming because it might compromise their health, listen, let me say, that's great. God bless you. Please tune in through the video, okay? We honor that, church family. Listen, I know people's health can be compromised, especially this time of the year, and especially now more with COVID. That's fine. I'm not preaching to you, per se. That's great. But if you can't, church family, why not attend? There's stuff in the video, the intangibles, the love of God is not always communicated through the video.
Amen.
The fellowship of God's people is not always communicated through the video. Hugging each other and seeing each other, you know, newsflash, I need you. And I hope you need me. I know I'm a little crazy at times. But I need you guys. And listen, we all need church. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Well, Pastor Joe, I've been burned by them rabble-rousing people and them doggone hypocritical pastors. They don't even say pastor, right? They call them pastures. You know, where the cows feed them pastures. That pasture will be done. He did me a great deal of wrong back in the day, so I'm not going to darken the door of a church. Baby, get over it. You know, if I quit everything that robbed me the wrong way, baby, I check out of this planet in a hurry. How many of y'all have had a dumpy waiter or waitress before? I have. How many of y'all have had a dumpy police officer or a cop with a bad attitude pull you over and show you no mercy? Not you?
I haven't.
Well, I'm glad. Well, this is by hearsay. This is not personal experience. I just want to make that clear here. They all love me. That's, forgive me, Lord. That was a lie. So, you know, if we quit everything that rubbed us the wrong way or hurt us, babe, you... Babe, sorry, babe, I'm not preaching at you, but not you. Sorry, my blessed people. I didn't call you babe, Miss Robin. Sorry. But we wouldn't do anything. We wouldn't eat stuff. How many of y'all have ever eaten something that hurt you, that caused, you know, some kind of contamination in your body? You don't quit living because something went wrong, and you don't quit church just because somebody hurt you. You might want to quit that church, but you don't quit church altogether. Can I get a hearty amen in God's house? God's eyes are on us. God's heart is in this place as it is in all the other Jesus glorifying, Bible preaching, Bible teaching churches. Those aren't my words, baby. Those are God's words. My eyes are on my house. My eyes are on my children. My heart is in that house. My heart are with my children. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, if I told Cynthia, you know, Cynthia, I want to marry you, baby, but I don't like your kids.
That wouldn't work.
Well, what do you think it looks like to Jesus when we say, Lord, I love you, but I'm not going to church? I don't like when the kids get together. Yoo-hoo. Or how many of y'all know we're the bride of Christ? Yes. Oh, Lord, I love you, Joe. I think you're an awesome guy, but I don't like your woman. Well, then, baby, you don't need to be around me. Because if you don't like her, then you don't like me. Amen. But how many of us say that about the Lord? Oh, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you. But I don't like going to church. Some of you are looking down, just not looking at me. You're like, okay.
So you need other people to lean on, and they need you to lean on.
Yes, absolutely. That's right. We all need each other to lean on. Yeah, there's no room for lone rangers in the body. Can I get a witness, please? Now, listen, I'm not trying to light anybody up, church family, but I think the truth is the truth, right? I'm trying to give us different perspectives of how it might seem to God. I love you, Lord, but I don't love your bride. I love you, Lord, but I don't love your kids. Well, do we really love the Lord? Do we really have a heart for the house? His eyes are on us. His heart is in us for how long, church family? Always. Turn with me to Micah chapter 6, verse 8, and we're going to go to number 3. Micah chapter 6, verse 8, please. He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? We should pay attention, because this is something the Lord requires out of how many of us, church family? All of us. Notice, number one, to do justly. Number two, to love mercy. Number three, to walk humbly with your God. And the third one is, if we're going to look into God's heart, we're going to realize we need to have a heart for others. Right? That same teacher of the law said, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your mind, soul, strength, might. And then he said, and the second one is like unto it, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So let's break down the two here. Do justly, because we've already talked about the third one, to walk humbly with your God. Let's talk about do justly and to love mercy. Okay? Do justly. Do right by your fellow neighbor. Do right by your fellow neighbor. Jesus said it like this. Listen, he gave us a very simple, simple rule. If you don't like something done to you, then don't do it to other people. Right? Amen. If you don't like being gossiped about, then don't gossip about another person. If you don't like to be slandered, then don't slander other people. Yoo-hoo. Funny how when I start talking about those sins, it gets super quiet. Interesting. And then, so we need to do right by our fellow person. What is right in the eyes of the Lord? How should I treat other people? Because church family, we cannot have a relationship with God that does not translate into the way we treat others. If we're going to have a heart for God, we're going to automatically have a heart for people. If we're going to love God, we're going to love people. Yoo-hoo. If we're going to have a passion for our loving God, then we're going to extend that same passion of mercy and love to others. Which brings me to the second part, love mercy. Do you realize that that word in the Hebrew communicates a covenantal love? We should have a covenantal love with mercy toward others. You know what a covenant is? A covenant is not like a contract. We people in the 21st century have mastered ways to get around contracts. Find loopholes, find legal loopholes, get yourself a good attorney, and you can get out of a contract. But church family, the only way to get out of the covenant when you were in a relationship with God was through death, namely yours. You know, the gangs today have a saying, blood in, blood out. Thank you. Blood in, blood out. In other words, you become a blood brother when you get in, but what that means is the only way to get out of a gang is your death. If you betray the gang, you're toast. Right? So what does it mean when it says that we should have a covenantal love with mercy? That means that I should be merciful toward others, not just when I feel good. Is that right, church family? Not just when people are nice to me. Sometimes when people are ugly to me, I need to show them mercy. Yoo-hoo. And don't think that I don't share a desire every now and again to light a few people up, present company excluded. I want to light some up and say, you know, you rookie, rocker, rocker, rocker. How many of y'all saw Home Alone? Rookie, rocker, rocker. Yeah. Or that emoji with this red oblong thing with all these like exclamation marks. That would be, yeah, my take on lighting somebody up. How many of y'all like the honesty here? But I have to bite my tongue. Right? Right, Craig?
Right.
All right. I saw your eyes just wandering over here. I'm going to light you up, brother.
Throw the razor at me.
Wake you up, brother. Shake you to wake you, brother Craig. I owe you a few. He's laughing. I love when you get red, buddy. You're just shaking and laughing, and I like that party.
I always stay ahead of the count.
Yes, you do. But I'm catching up, right? Anyway. So if we look into God's heart, we're going to see that he wants us to have a heart for him. Number two, he wants us to have a heart for the house. Number three, he wants us to have a heart for others and show them mercy. Listen carefully, not because some of them deserve mercy, but because we have been shown mercy. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? How many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of God's word this morning? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your word, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless us, Father, as we look into you and help us to see clearly, Lord. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.